Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week. And those of you that know me say, no, I say that all the time, and I always mean it, because it's such a blessing to be here. It's such a blessing to be alive and in all times. And, you know, it really is just such a blessing. And we learn to make it and weather the storms and go through life. And I have a dear friend that, she was passed at like 87, 5 years ago, and she used to always say, this is life. This is life, and we want to make the best of it. I'm so thrilled today to have a dear friend and Mary Ann, well-known Mary Ann Tharmouth, on to discuss how to pivot and thrive in the workplace. Now, who doesn't need that today? We have so many changes that have happened. So many changes have happened since February 2020 in the workplace, at home, and with so much more with this COVID. And I know I have to be more positive, too, in my sounding. Mary will straighten me out on that, because we've just all been through so much. We're kind of going like, okay, when is it going to end? What next? What next? But there is light at the end of the tunnel, and it's happening. It's slowly. So Mary is an executive recruiter, speaker, and author of Revolutionary Recruiting and Revolutionary Reinvention Workbook. She actually has a workshop coming up soon, and you can always, if you hear it later, you can always go back, and they'll be ongoing as well. Mary Ann founded her company, Tharmouth and Company, in 1982, specializing in recruiting for professional, clerical, and temporary placements. Mary Ann's in Houston, Texas, but I'll let her tell us when we get on. But temporary placements a lot with the pipe, tube, metals, coating, oil field service, and industrial supplies, having a particularly strong focus, but I believe they do other areas as well. The utmost attention is given to every applicant and position. Mary has her CPC, which is Certified Personal Consultant credential, which requires years and years of experience in the industry. She achieved her Bachelor's of Art degree in Business Administration from Mary Grove University and graduated with honors. Today, we are going to discuss mindsets, how to do a self-inventory, how to take advantage of these changes, and kind of look at all the changes, if we can pivot and look at it as a positive instead of totally negative, which is so mandatory these days, so necessary, and to help others. You can see it. She's going to show us a way to revolutionize your role in the workplace and at home. Without further ado, I'd like to welcome Mary Ann Tharmouth. How are you?
Hi, Natalie. I'm great. It's so wonderful to be here. I love visiting with you and being in your energy field and hearing about all the exciting things you've done, too, and all the great things you do for other people. And I'm excited to be here because I do believe that we can revolutionize our employment world and our work world. And I think that, like you said, with the right mindset and the right training of how to present yourself in this new work world, I think we all can be very successful, not only in our careers, but personally as well. And I'm thrilled that I have a five-step method called the Tharmouth Method. That's an actual step-by-step method that people can use to really kind of jumpstart their career and move in a more positive direction. Because as you said, Natalie, I think all of us you know, whether we have a job, we've lost a job, we're looking for a better one, maybe we want a part-time job, wherever we are in our work world, I think that there's a lot of positivity going forward, and I think with the right mindset and the right tools, we can achieve some great things, and I'm excited to be able to help people to do that.
I love it. I love it. And you have a workshop coming up that is I was reading. It's a two-day workshop that actually helps people. Go ahead.
Yes, I do. I have a Friday, March the 12th, from 6 to 7, will be a free webinar. And you can go to my website, fairmouth.com. That's FAREMOUTH.com. And you can sign up for the free webinar. That'll be an overview of the workshop intensive. The workshop intensive will be Saturday and Sunday, March 13th and 14th from 1 to 4. And we're going to go through the five-step Fairmouth method. We're going to talk about what's important right now in this work world, because it's very different now than it was pre-COVID. And I'm sitting here in the line of fire hearing from clients all over the country, because I am a national recruiter, hearing what works, what doesn't work, who's getting the job, who's not. The resume is so important with all these online positions now, mm-hmm. and everything by algorithms. There's a certain way that resume has to be presented to get picked, or it goes into a dry hole, goes into the black hole. So we're going to
have
Do
most even not get read? I mean, I would think, because people are so slammed. I know with us, we have to delegate out, and by the time it comes to where I'm going to, I don't have the time, you know. So do you find that a lot, where so many are going in that they're not even read?
Yes. Because before the HR person ever gets that resume, they have a program, okay, of algorithms that look for keywords. And if those keywords in that resume are not exactly what that algorithm is looking for, then that resume gets put in the do not review file. So I would say 80% of the resumes that people are sending in are not getting looked at, right? So that's the 80-20 rule. 20% probably are, and those 20% are getting looked at because they have the resume written in a way that's honestly true, of course, but that reflects experience that really pinpoints and is in alignment with what the job description says.
So you're saying that the actual, because it depends if it's small employer, large employer, I guess you deal with mostly really large employers, they're actually using a program that has an algorithm to pick up the words? Wow.
Well, I would say mid to large size companies are, but even people that don't use that, all right? The thing of it is right now, Natalie, is that, you know, all of us, whether we're a candidate or an employer, by COVID, with the pandemic the last year, everybody's been affected in some way, shape, or form. And even
right.
companies are, you know, down. And so if the resume
right.
doesn't reflect what they're looking for, or more importantly, when they look at that resume, if they don't think that person's going to make a contribution in some way to the company, then they're not going to bring that person in. And now what I'm hearing too is, you know, before COVID, you know, back in, you know, 2019 and January and February of 2020, you know, my clients, they'd hire three people. They'd hire a salesperson, outside salesperson, inside salesperson, and sales assistant. Now they're hiring one person in a lot of cases to do everything.
To do everything.
So, yeah. So, you know, you've got to be honest and true, but you have to present your skill set in a way that demonstrates multi-level skills and not just, you know, one area. And the other thing is, too, the resume has to be written in a way that isn't too wordy, that isn't too, look how wonderful I am. You want to put
right.
your degree, you know, your degree on there and your GPA, all that stuff. It's important. But now what people are looking for is, you know, what do I see in this resume that's going to help me? What do I see in this resume that's really going to make a difference to my company? You know, pre-COVID, it was about, wow, if that candidate was number 5 out of 300 people in their class,
right, exactly.
Wow, that's pretty important.
Right.
Now it's like, you know, if that person increased sales 40% and that's on their resume, that's going to get their attention more than if they were number 5 out of 300. Does that make any sense?
Exactly. Oh, absolutely, 100%. And, I mean, I will get resumes, some intent, and they're not even – if or some people won't – if they don't send them, we're not going to respond. You know, it's just amazing. But I never, that algorithm software makes a lot of sense too. And yeah, the whole thing, do you recommend people doing something different with the resume? I guess that's a whole nother, that could be a whole nother course in itself on a resume.
Well, I think the resume should be one or at the very most two pages. I think that if you can use a template to make sure the grammar and punctuation is correct, that's important. Right now, if there's a lot of misspellings on the resume or the resume format is not real professional, you're not going to get picked. So
no,
I don't
that's
going to
go right into file 13.
Right. So I think that, you know, that's the first step. It's got to be done right because that resume is your calling card. And that resume says, look who I am and look at what I've accomplished. And so that's got to be really, really done correctly. And people just, you know, they don't have a lot of time right now to train or to, you know, work with people that don't really have a sincere, genuine interest in coming in and doing a good job. And the resume is a starting point. So that's got to be done, you know, really, really well to even get that first step accomplished.
Are you finding though with many companies allowing people to work virtual because at first there was not a choice, and then now many companies are finding that hey, we can trust this employee, this works, you know, and the employees are happier too because they get to fill in, you know, exercise time or other things rather than in a commute time. Are you finding that that's helping or hurting what's going on right now around the country?
Well, I think that to answer your question, for the last several months, I've seen a lot of my clients let their employees work virtually. And maybe, you know, they all get together on Zoom and have team meetings once or twice a week on Zoom. But I do know that I've heard some clients say, especially in Texas, because the governor just released the mandate for the masks and also for you know, restaurants now can have 100% capacity, but, you know.
Really?
100%
fantastic. Excellent.
Yeah. I think that people are going to start coming back maybe one day a week or maybe 2 days a week. But I think that the virtual thing will continue at least, you know, for a few days anyway. And I think that,
right.
You know, people are getting used to it now. I think that I've heard some companies, some HR people tell me that if a person has worked virtually the last 4 or 5 months and, you know, two or three times have gone by where they can't find the person or they're not meeting their deadline, then that person gets laid off. So I think that, you know, people are getting with the program with virtual, understanding that
right.
You know, they've got to do what they've got to do still to get the job done. I think a lot of people, you know, it's been a challenge for a lot of people, Natalie, because not only have people had to work virtually, but a lot of people have had, you know, their kids out of school. And so
exactly.
The kids
oh, that's
home.
A good point.
You know,
right.
They have to work with the computer and all. So it's been a challenging, you know, changing time in a lot of ways. But I also think that in some ways it's made us a lot more aware of, you know, what's important as far as, you know, really, really being grateful to have a job. You know, trying to help your kids as much as you can, you know, really contributing and working with the team. So I don't think it's all been bad. I think, you know, sometimes it's only, you know, darkest before the dawn. I know a lot of people have had challenges. But I also think this. I've heard this, too. Let me bring this up before I forget. I've had clients tell me that when candidates come in, if they come in, and talk too much about their challenges. For example, I had one candidate or client tell me, you know, Marianne, he was perfect for the job. We have an accounting job, tax accounting job. He was perfect, but, you know, for the first 15 minutes, all he told me about was, you know, two of his relatives have had COVID and how sad he's been about it. She said, I'm sorry to hear that. I don't want to hear that. And so, you know,
right. They don't
realize, you know, you got to start with your mindset. You got to be positive. You know, you know, I understand.
We understand. Yeah, I want to get into that, but before we get into that, because we want to get into and I'm such a believer, you know, and living the life you love and doing the work you love and giving back the way you love, and I think a lot of people did get the opportunity now. I'm not saying because there's a lot going on that's not, you know, but the opportunity to say, hey, do I really want to do the work I was doing? Now I may be able to get, you know, fit it all in and kind of set my life and work model up and my home life to blend for what I really want, right? So I think that's probably a plus. And I noticed, will you, everybody should really check out your books, The Revolutionary Reinvention and The Revolutionary Recruiting, which was awarded number one, standing out of the best 100 recruiting books by Book Authority. And this is before COVID, I believe, right? So you, oh my gosh, I can imagine now. But your Fairmouth method, I want to just touch on that a little bit, your five-step process that you've used in your recruiting practice that allows candidates to get an alignment and investigate information about themselves, you know, to kind of pull it out. Because, you know, I think I would tend to say companies, we're looking for people to, not if it, we're in a different level. I mean, with what you're doing with those huge corporations is a little different than what we do because we only need a few people to do certain jobs. But we're definitely looking for people that want to be game players and long-term and grow with the company, et cetera. But we want people that fit into what they're doing. So I'm a real big believer in assessment testing and, you know, and making sure that this is something they like, because if they don't fit the personality doesn't fit the position, they may even, you know, you hear stories all the time, well, my dad wanted me to be a lawyer, and I went to college and I became a lawyer, and I was in a firm for 10 years and I hated it. And now, subsequently, years later, they're doing what they love, right? So we hear those stories, which this does give us, and you're such a pro at this to help people figure that part out. So your five-step Fairmouth method, I'm reading it, but I want you, it says do a self-inventory, ask better questions, step out of your comfort zone, take the time to do it right, and be a hunter. Let's start with do a self-inventory. Can you kind of elaborate on it for us and tell us? I know you know this by the back of your hand, but which way is the best way for them to do that?
I think your earlier point is so on target. It's so on, you know, on the money. When you said this COVID has really made people stop in their tracks and say, you know, do I really want to do this? And I think that lends us to going into doing that self-inventory. And that's what the second book is designed to do. The second book, Revolutionary Reinvention Workbook, is an actual workbook that takes you through the five steps. But each step is an inventory of sorts. Each step has questions and places for you to answer those questions. So, for example, you know, the first step is, you know, do a self-inventory. And so we go through and we say, in the first book or the second book, we say, you know, list the five most important qualities that you find in yourself. Are you creative, confident, loyal, intelligent? And you're going to list those five qualities. And then now rank that list you just made. Which qualities are the strongest? Put those at the top of the list. And then make a list of your greatest skills. What are you terrific at? Problem solving, innovating, telling the truth. Make a list of what qualities other people teach you. So when you go through this book, all right, and you list these things down, and then you look at them, and you go through all these five, you know, these five steps. At the very end, you come away with a real good inventory of who you are and what's important to you. And as you and I both know, Natalie, you know, what's important to us in our 20s is different in our 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s. We all change,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
We all have different needs, all right? So say you're, you know, I have two millennial sons. Let me pick on them. I have two millennial sons, and I have to say I'm very, very proud of both of them. They're very accomplished. They're very, very, very good young men. But, you know, what's important to them, all right, and what's important to a boomer like me is probably a little different, although since COVID.
Exactly.
All right. Mindset might have gotten a little more millennial-like, right? But the point of the story is this. If you have a tool available to you, like this book, to do a self-inventory, to get into alignment with who you are right now, what's important to you right now, then you can really know where to go to find fulfillment in a job. Now, we have to be realistic. We can't be in la-la land. We have to know, you know, what are our real concrete, realistic options that are available to us out there, right? But if you do an alignment, an assessment, right, and do a self-inventory and go through this program and really get a good handle on who you are right now, what's important to you, What is your skill set, and where is that going to fit? Right? The chances of you finding a job that's going to be make you happier are a lot greater. And I believe this now, Natalie. I bet you do too. When you're happy on your job, right, you're going to come home, and you're going to be happier as a mother. You're going to be happier as a wife. You're going to be happier as a friend. All right? It all works together,
right.
And that's why I call what I call a holistic recruiter. Because I look at not just a resume and a job description and slam the two together. I look at the whole person. I look at the whole picture. And that's what my books do. And the one thing I'm pretty proud of, I think, is that I have a very high retention rate in my placements. A lot of, my people stick on the job a long time. And I think it's because I do take the time to do this. All right? And I think, very briefly, the reason I ever wrote the first book was because my husband of 18 years was in the wrong job, and he was very unhappy, right? And unfortunately, he died at a very young age of a heart ailment, all right? And it was congenital, so I have to say that. He was born with a weakened aortic
lining. But his stress probably made it worse, yeah.
Probably exacerbated it, all right? And so I was, always felt so guilty. Well, if I would have tried to help him, maybe put him in another job. He wanted to be a forest ranger. But anyway, he's gone. God bless him. He's gone. I can't bring him back. But how many others can I help never get to the point that he got? And that's why I wrote book one, all right? And I give, case studies in there. And there's some people in there some case studies in there are people that have come to me, and I haven't placed. But I haven't placed them because maybe I helped them identify that they were in the right job. Maybe they were in a good job, but they needed to work on their relationship with the manager more. Maybe they, needed to try to make it work before they jumped ship too. So I look at everything. I look at the person. I look at where we are. I look at the economy. I look at what's available. I look at all these things. And I think if we do a self-inventory that's honest and true, and we do a thorough inventory, then the chances of us making a decision in our career that will be a good decision are a lot higher. And that's what I do.
I love it. Now, somebody can buy the workbook on, they go to your website or they go to Amazon. Tell us where they can get the materials to start this too.
They can go to Amazon. It's on Amazon. And it's also, you can go to my website, grandma.com, and it'll take, there's a link to Amazon on my website. But yes, they're both on Amazon. And, I think the second book, is more it's a workbook for sure, but the second book is more of an evaluation of the person, where the first book is more my knowledge, sharing my wisdom, all right? What I've learned, I've been doing this over 30 years, so my first book is more or less what I've learned in case people I've placed. But the second book is you going through and doing the workbook and doing the filling in all these questions like I just mentioned, and then you evaluating what you found out from this experience. And, the webinar is going to touch upon that a little bit on Friday, next Friday. But the two-day workshop is going to be me going through this with you, me going through the workbook. And then, what I found in some of the other classes, and I've done some teaching it and some, experiences at some of the colleges, when I go through and have other people in the class, and other people, explaining what they're going through. Sometimes a student, another person in the class is going to learn something or, come to a realization on their own situation by hearing what somebody else has done. So, sometimes
exactly.
We learn from association. Don't you think that's true in your case too?
Oh, 100%. And that's another thing right now. So this is going to be an online workshop, I'm assuming, right? Is all online?
Yes. Yes.
So somebody could still sign up, but anybody listening now can then later. Yeah, no, absolutely. And with Zoom right now, it's been amazing how much is working, and people are still able to do groups and join in and have breakout room sessions. I totally agree, because there's so much, collectively you come up with different stories and things that, live stories, live examples of things that have happened, and it certainly gets people, one thing it does is it jogs the memory, and then it also helps people think, wow, if they can do it, I can do it. If this one can do it, wait a minute. It definitely is a good thing. I think that's what you're doing is so needed right now.
I've had some of my clients that have been, on some of my, classes or workshops that I've done, and And they might do the workshop because they're looking how to interview differently to make a better hire. But, you know, they might be down the road thinking of hiring someone, and they might remember Susie Smith that they met at the workshop that has a skill set that maybe they could use. So much of it now, you know, is networking and associations, because you and I both know, Natalie, with all these people working at home, if you call into an HR department now or you call into a company now, you're going to get a voicemail because everybody's working from home. And so,
well, you know what's really cute? It's really funny because we've done virtual for years and years and years. And like our guys in the Philippines in 2002, it's like, oh, my gosh, you cannot have the roosters crawling, you know, going in the background. Well, I giggle when I hear roosters because in Hawaii we have roosters in different places. And it was funny in Westminster, I heard roosters down the road. I'm going, oh, my gosh, it's so funny to me, right? Because, and I know, because in real estate we've been able to work from home for years, even with offices. It just made sense to mix it up, and I'm totally what they would call the virtual queen. So when traveling and business and being able to do it from anywhere, as long as I have a phone and an internet, and I believe in it. So we were able to pivot easier, except it's not, you know, there's so many other things that have happened with COVID that haven't made it easy, and I'm not being negative. I'm just saying we have to work with it. But it's funny because people, in the beginning, people were saying, oh, I'm gonna get dressed up and put my makeup on and go in my office, and I'm going to go sit and work from there. And I'm like, why are you doing that? That, like, defeats the purpose, because we've had so much experience working from home, you know. And then other people saying, let's do a Zoom meeting when it's only one person. And I was like, why can't we do the phone? Because then you're able still to have, you know, incorporate everything else. And I think in that, instead of having to have your makeup on and be totally dressed. And so that's, we're going to get into mindsets in a couple minutes with you. And I'd love your take on that, because I just know so many people, it's so new for them to work from home that they're not sure how to act or behave. And I think it's best to be themselves, but of course still have the protocol. If you're going to be in a business meeting, you need to get prepared for the business meeting on Zoom. If you're going to, you know, be watched.
Yeah, and I think that brings up a good point, because I think the other day, I think I mentioned this on another Zoom call I had the other day with somebody, but I had a candidate that was a candidate that was interviewing for a job that was very detail-oriented, and he interviewed with my client on Zoom, and he interviewed in his kitchen. But in his kitchen, Natalie, he had all these
dishes. Oh, I wouldn't have done that.
He didn't have anything up, all right? And so the client came back, and she said, Marianne, he's perfect for the job, but I'm sorry, Marianne, this job requires heavy detail, and I cannot get past those dirty dishes. So people have to realize when you're interviewing on Zoom.
I wouldn't
Zoom
do
now,
that either, no. Yeah, I was on a Zoom call with, I won't say who, a company the other day, and the person working was definitely millennial age, and her Zoom thing was in her bedroom. So we're seeing her bed and her stuff. I didn't say anything, but I would have felt the same way, you know, if I was, yeah. It was kind of interesting. As with Zoom, you have backgrounds. I mean, you could plug a background in. You know, people just need to be a little bit caring about that. But as a job interview, I think job interview definitely is, I'm surprised, but you're right. I think it's interesting. It's really funny, though, how people, you know, are getting more lax in some areas and then not as much in some, and then we still have protocols that we need to put in place, right? We still need to definitely have protocols. So you were, another thing you said, ask better questions. So if your five-step Fairmouth method, the second one is ask better questions. So how do you, is that digging deeper to ask the better questions, or what
well,
does that
yes,
mean?
Well, once we do the self-inventory, all right? So say, for example, we go through the first step and we do the self-inventory. We realize we've got 5 years as a purchasing assistant selling structural pipe or, you know, oil and gas pipe or oil country tubular goods. All right, we've got a specific, you know, we've got a skill set that's in this particular industry. So the ask better questions would be, how can I use this skill set and transfer it into some other industry? Because the industry I'm in right now is not hiring. Maybe
right.
In retail. All right, a lot of retail companies have really, really scaled down. All right, because Amazon too is,
right.
You know, is affected that even before. But all right, so we know what our skill set is, but we have it in a particular industry. So the question would be, you know, how can I present this in a way? Okay, the better question would be, how can I present my skill set in a way that shows my transferable skills? Right, as opposed
right.
to going in and saying, you know, I've done 5 years purchasing oil country tubular goods. pipe, all right, and say, you know what, I might have experience in the oil and gas industry with 5 years purchasing this kind of material, but let me tell you what, I have a technical expertise, all right? If I can sell that technical product, then I can sell software too. Then I can sell digital equipment. I have that technical sense, all right? So if you know how to present it, if you can ask yourself better questions, all right, you have a skill set, but how are you going to present it? You know, what are the better questions you're going to ask yourself to present it in a way that's going to get that client interested in you? Because if you just go in there and you say, well, this is what I have, they're going to say, well, that's not what we want. You know,
it's not going to work.
Asking better questions, too. You know, for example, I had a client the other day that had an opening. Now, he didn't want to see the people in person with the masks, of course, but he was in a plant, and it was hard to find. And I had three people interview. The first two people that interviewed had exact experience, but they didn't. They were 30 minutes late, both of them, because they got lost. But the third one, the day before, went out there to find out where it was. He didn't have exact experience. He only had related experience, but he asked better questions. He asked of himself, how am I going to make sure I'm on time for this? So he took the time the day before to go all the client came back. He said, you know what? I'm going to hire that guy, Marianne, because he didn't have exact experience. But you know what? He's got the true grit. He's got the go-get-him attitude. He took the time to go out there and find out where I am. I'm going to hire him. Because the other two, they're resting on their laurels. All right? I don't want those two.
Exactly.
So you've got to ask yourself. You know, I might not have exact experience, all right? But what am I going to do to really impress this employer, all right? And it's different now, all right? It's different. You know, years ago in a lot of industries, people could rest on their laurels. So there's so many jobs.
But
right now, you've
got
an employer.
But on this inventory, and I love your five-step process. It's perfect. It just really covers everything. And step out. Okay, so then we're going to ask better questions. In there, when they're doing the self-inventory and they're asked better questions, does it seem like they should do the personal assessment and the business assessment? Because just because they've had experience in one field for years, like you said, it's beautiful to see how it can transfer to another industry or field. Isn't it good to see? I mean, some people might not be cut out for a job. Some people may be total entrepreneurs and be better off starting their own business, right? And it's amazing how many people think it costs a lot of money to start businesses when it really doesn't, depending on what you're doing. So I'm just wondering, in that inventory, should we incorporate all of it, right? Our personal and our skills?
Personal and professional is incorporated. The questions that I ask in this book are not only for professional, but for personal too. So it's an integration of both personal and professional. But the thing of it is, what this after you go through this workbook and after you go through this five-step method, all right, it gives you a reality check on what's important to you as a person, what's important to you in your career, and then what's really available for you to go forward, all right? So it's a reality check. It's not, you know, it's not just one-dimensional. It's not just, oh, let me look at my skill set and what jobs are hiring. It's where am I right now? Who am I? What's important to me? What do I like? What do I not like? Because it's, you know, if you can get in alignment with who you are, then you got a better idea to go into a career that's suited for you. Because like you said, you know, if you're real entrepreneurial, right? If you're real entrepreneurial, and we find that out with this workbook, and I put you and you go to work for a micromanager, you're not going to like it, all right? You're not going to like that.
Not at all.
Breathing down your neck, you're going to. You're going to call me and say, get me out of here. But if you're entrepreneurial and we have somebody that's going to say, this is what I want you to do, go do it and bring me the results, you know what? You're going to be thrilled. Because that's
totally. Now, what about the situations where people may not know? Because now, I mean, you have so many different options of things that you may not have thought about. You know, is there like a place to go to find out about or is it just Googling and see what they have, like to find out about the gear, different jobs or careers or business? Or is there something, because so many different things have come up. I mean, if that makes sense, you know, it's not like the old days where you just had these choices.
Well, after we decide what you want to do, then I help them identify where to go to look for it. And I think, you know, there's a lot of job boards out there. I think LinkedIn is a very good tool right now, all right? So you know, it is different. It is different. But I think that, you know, the key is to identify what it is you want to do and then, you know, where you go to find it. and you know, a lot of times it's by networking too. I always tell people, you know, to join groups on LinkedIn, because sometimes,
sure,
you know, and they're for free. You join all kind of groups on LinkedIn, and sometimes, Natalie,
right,
in these groups, they're what you call, they have forums, and in the forums they talk,
right,
about jobs that they never advertise. All
right,
so
right,
so
right,
I, you know, I will know. It's a 360-degree process. You know, you got to look at finding a job in a lot of different ways now. All right, it's not one-dimensional. And so once we identify what you want to do, then we talk about how do we go to find out where it is, all right? And it's different,
okay,
now. And I think, that, you know, it's certainly out there, but you have to know how to go find it.
I love your step. So the first step, again, do a self-inventory. Second, ask better questions. Third step, step out of your comfort zone.
Step out of your comfort
zone. Go ahead.
We're all stepping out. We're shoved out of our comfort zone.
I just have to laugh because we are all stepping out of our comfort zones. We are.
Everything now, all right? But it's the beauty to have the mindset to say, okay, it's different now. It's different, and I'm struggling, and I can't find a job. But you know what? I know I have what it takes to find a job, and I know I have skills that are transferable. And having that mindset and then finding out how you're going to step out of that comfort zone and present it.
You know, I just had a thought that came to me, and you know me, I'm going to ask a lot of questions, but you're amazing, and you're at the top of your game. You've been in this over 30 years. You know it like the back of your hand. You have the clients and the network and the people, and, I mean, you can look at and tell right away, and that's what happens when you're an expert like you are. When somebody's stepping out of their comfort zone and they're going to go into something, I'm just thinking, would you actually – if the other part of what you do, because you're an expert, because I would think people have to protect themselves. Say they come and they go, hey, this job's perfect, and the employer loves them, and they bring them on. Do you all help? I'm assuming with the employment contracts, making sure that if they just get fired, they get a severance package, they get all these different benefits that are protecting them. Not if they make a mistake, but if for some reason they're out the door and they've just wasted 2 to 5 years of their life. You know, is that part of what you all do?
Well, you know, Texas is a right-to-work state. What that means, I mean, in Texas, I'm going to just use Texas as an example. You know, somebody,
okay,
you know, can be a reason, all right, whatever. But the thing of it is, okay, if you go into a job and it doesn't work out, it's not the end of the world, all right? Failure, in my opinion, is not the end of the world. Failure is...
No, but you want to protect yourself, though. So we want to protect yourself, though.
You know, you have to go in, and if you go get hired in a job, right, you know, you can negotiate that up front with a company as far as, you know, but I'm thinking right now, you know, you've got to make a bigger contribution, right? People don't have a lot of, I mean, I'm seeing people not have a lot of patience for people that go in and don't want to work hard.
I think everybody should work hard. But it's more like if the person did work hard and maybe they advanced the company and they did so many great things and then the company's, okay, we don't need you anymore. I mean, because it could work both ways. So I'm saying if they do work hard, then they should protect themselves with an employment contract, right? So when you say Texas is right-to-work state, tell our audience what that means.
Well, that means they can fire you for any reason at any time, okay? And you have no recourse. Unfortunately, that's just the way it is. Okay, I don't think that to go in and you know perform well, that's going to happen. All right, but also, you know, people are challenged right now, and nothing's guaranteed. I think your biggest guarantee is to go in, work hard, you know, join professional groups, meet other people in your organization, the other organizations that are competitors. And do as much networking as you can. And God forbid if that should happen, then you have a reputation to go somewhere else. So
exactly.
You know,
I
think just give it your best shot. I think you want to go in with the attitude and the mindset of I'm going to go in here and this is going to be good. This is going to be successful. You know, if it isn't, then you're going to have the reputation that you know you'll leave gracefully and you'll go somewhere else. So I don't.
And you made it. You made it work. No,
I
was just a question because I thought, because you see so many different things now, and it makes sense that it shouldn't happen, but I'm just, I'm a big contract person after 35 years in the industry, so just asking that question if that's part of the package and how that works. So now this is perfect. Okay, so take the time to do it right. Does that mean that's your fourth step of the Fairmouth method? So what is that, to take the time to do it right?
Well, that means if you get laid off in a job, all right, you need to do the first, you need to do the self-inventory, you know, okay, so where am I? Where am I right now? Okay, why did this happen? Okay, was it my fault, didn't perform? Was it industry related? Was it that, you know, they have cutbacks? Is the profits are low? All right, so do I have to step out of my comfort zone? All right, so not just go and come to me and say, find me a job. Get me out, just get me a job. All right, take the time to do it right. Do a little bit of reevaluation of what happened and why it happened, and then take the time to increase your skill set. Maybe you got to have better software skills now. Maybe you better go to Toastmasters to learn how to, you know, speak well and present yourself on an interview. Maybe you have to take a class, in another area that learns software that's in demand. So take the time to do it right. Don't just jump, all right? Assess what happened. See what your options are. And then take the time to move forward in a way that's beneficial to you. For example, you know, maybe do my free webinar, all right? Do it.
Right,
know,
right.
I'm a believer in people, you know, with training and classes. I mean, I'm always in some kind of class myself. I'm always taking some kind of class because, you know, things change. And I think, you know, the more we can gain knowledge or skills or experiences in other areas, you know, the more we have to offer, not only professionally, but personally. We're more interesting to talk to if we have other things to talk about that we just didn't know before.
Exactly.
So take
right.
time to do it right, to become, you know, I think it's all, and I think you and I are a lot about this, okay? It's always, in my opinion, is be the best version of who you can be, all right? Be
totally.
The best version
absolutely.
Of who you
absolutely.
You know, you and I think, and you know, a lot of people that we all know, you know, try hard to become their best self. And you know, we only have, that's another thing I think COVID showed me. You know, my neighbor next door, God bless him, I mean, he died of COVID. And,
oh,
and
no.
I think one of the things, you know, he was an older man. He had other illnesses, but, you know,
right,
he didn't
right.
have the to fight it. But I think what it showed me, what COVID's showing us, is mortality, right? We have one life,
right?
Right? We don't know how long we
exactly.
have.
Exactly.
So why not
exactly.
make it the best we can make it, all right? Let's have the best
I
life
agree.
We can. Okay, the best
You're,
life
that
is
so that is so right, and you know it is. It's you know it's so great to be able to learn and have you know intelligence and work and think. It's just great to have the opportunity to do things, you know, that we can, and make it the best. Okay, number five, be a hunter. And this is number
yeah,
five of the Fairmouth method.
You know, once we go through all these four steps, all right, then we got to go after what we want. All right, now we've done the self inventory. We know who we are. We're asking questions on where we want to go. We're going to step out of our comfort zone to transfer our skills. We're going to take the time to take the classes we need or do whatever we have to do it right. Then after that, Natalie, we've got to go after it. We can't sit
exactly.
back and come to us. You know, there's two kinds of people, the systematic gatherers and the hunters. You know, pre-COVID, you know, we didn't have as many challenges to find a job. Things came to us, okay? We could put in a few resumes. We got interviews. It's not the same anymore, right? You got to maybe send, you know, you got to go after it now. You got to be a hunter. You got to really go after it. You got to, you know, work a little harder to get a job.
What about pays when people want to go, okay, now I know what I want to do, but I need to make at least this much, you know, and not go, can they, I mean, I don't know where you guess they see the pay scales. I know there's different websites out there that give pay scales for jobs. But if somebody wants to go out there and say, hey, I know I need to make like $500,000 a year or $250,000 a year or could even be more, I guess it's not going to be as prevalent.
Across the board, you know, I've seen my clients, a lot of my clients have cut salaries, you know, 25% because their profits are down, all right? Not all of them, but some of them have, all right? And I see now, whenever you have, you know, a surplus of any kind of supply, whenever you have a surplus of any kind of commodity, whether it's generators, potatoes, or people, what happens? Prices come down. So we have a surplus of people.
You're
right.
No, you're right. Yeah.
So we have a surplus of a commodity of people. So salaries have come down. All right. So I think you need to be realistic. All right. And unfortunately, I have seen some people, all right, that have had their salaries reduced that maybe are doing something else, a little part-time thing, until things turn around, all right? Or, you know, instead of having, you know, that T-bone steak, maybe they're having a little bit more ground turkey. I mean, you know, we got to do what we got to do. All
right, exactly.
So I think the other thing, too, that maybe I've realized or other people I've talked to have realized is, you know, worth. You know, what is it? What's really important? Is it the, you know, maybe if your salary's cut, maybe your lifestyle's changing. So maybe the worth isn't in the razzle dazzle or the T-bone steak. Maybe now it's maybe having that ground turkey. But you know, maybe you're on Zoom with somebody that you just love, and you're eating your ground turkey, and he's eating wherever he's eating. But
exactly,
you're having an exchange of ideas.
Much better.
That
exactly.
It's much better. So I think it's all, you got to look at it in perspective.
Does that
make any sense?
That makes total sense. Absolutely, 100% sense. Yep. Because we're at the end of the day, you know, it's so important that we do have the right attitude, and that we are, you know, there's studies that have been shown that when people are constantly depressed and anxious, and it leads to so many other illnesses, you know, and it's not easy to just, you know, but it really is worth it. So what if, now we're going to, we're down to, do you believe we've got about 13 minutes left? It goes by so fast.
Wow.
It's,
does.
I want to, how the right mindset, because that's one of your topics that you're covering in your workshop and everything you do, how the right mindset is crucial to achieving your personal and professional goals, and you touched on that a little bit already, and the digital world also has impacted our world. So I'm going to let you elaborate a little bit on that, because it's not easy. It's not always easy.
No, and I'm looking at something here that kind of summarizes that question, and it's the last paragraph in book one, and it says, and this is about mindset, I believe, all right? When you are happy with you, the world becomes a better place. Your happiness radiates out to the world. Your happiness radiates out into the world, and others can feel it. But it all starts with making a better you. Love yourself, honor your God-given gifts and talents, and use them in a way that allows you to make some type of contribution. We are all connected, and we can all make a real difference, one small step at a time, one small accomplishment at a time, until the end of our lives. Do your own self-inventory. Consider what your legacy, what you want your legacy to be. You have one life. Make sure it's one you can be proud of. And I think it all starts with the mindset, okay? Love who you are. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, getting arrogant or being self-absorbed.
Right.
I'm saying, be happy with who you are, because once you're happy with who you are, then, in my opinion, you know, you can radiate that happiness out. Now, I just did a podcast the other day about planting seeds, because it's spring, and I don't know if you listened to it. I sent it to you, but I made the analogy of my sweet grandmother. My grandparents lived next door.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
Italian. And they had a garden. And my grandmother and grandfather would be out there planting those seeds in that garden, and they had beautiful tomatoes. And, you know, from that garden. But what they would do is turn around and with that, all their harvest of their hard work, they'd feed their family. They'd have the family over, and they'd share the good food. So I think the mindfulness, the mindset, and I think you touched upon it before, too, is that, you know, more and more now we are realizing that there's a real mind-body connection. Right? When you're real negative all the time, it's going to affect yourself. And if it affects yourselves, it's going to cause disease, all right? So the mindfulness, being happy with who you are and having a positive attitude is the starting point, all right? But then once you are, you know, you're happy with who you are and it radiates out, then and you identify what your gifts and talents are, then, and you and I are both like this, Natalie, then what are you going to do to help others? What are you going to do to make a contribution?
Right, we want to serve.
And we want to serve. We want to help others. And so I think mindfulness now, you know, if you've got to do something, you know, to help yourself calm down or feel better about who you are, maybe you got to do yoga. Maybe you got to do a little meditation. Maybe you got to walk more. All right. Maybe you got to do Tai Chi. Right. Whatever it is you got to do to calm down, get into alignment. You know, feel better about who you are. You know, maybe you got to go. You know, go to talk with your minister. You know, maybe you got to do a little therapy. Whatever it is you got to do to feel better about who you are. that's where it all begins, because that's going to radiate out. And even, you know, people, customers tell me, and clients tell me, Natalie, I really, you know what, Marianne, she doesn't have exact experience, but I really like her attitude, all right? She's got such a determined attitude, and she's got so much passion about doing it. I'm going to give her a chance. I cannot tell you how many people I have played through my years that have not had exact experience, but they had the right attitude, the determined effort, and the passion to do a job. And I placed them in a job, and they became so very successful, right? So I think attitude is so important. You know, and I think that's what we're going to talk about in this seminar, in this workshop, is, you know, what is it, what's really, what's going to differentiate you right now to go out there in this new work world and have an advantage over the other people that don't know these things? What am I going to, what advantage are you going to have by doing this workshop or this webinar? And I'm going to tell you, because I'm here in the line of fire, hearing what customers and clients all over the country are telling me what they want right now, all right, what's important to them. And I think on the top of that list, in my opinion, right now, from what everybody's been through, is going to be the right mindset, all right? Now,
I agree.
You can't have just the right mindset and go in and say, I'm so wonderful, and I no, you have to have the right mindset, but you got to back it up with, let me show you what I can bring to you. I'm going to, I did my homework. I see what your projects are. I see where you've been. Let me tell you how what I've done relates to what you want to do over there. Because I feel if you give me the chance, I'm going to be the best employee you've ever had. I think if you come across like that in this new work world, you got a big advantage.
Mm. Absolutely. Totally. I agree. 100%.
But I also think COVID, you know, I think COVID has made us realize, you know, for me anyway, you know, my relationships, you know, my family, my you know, really look at what's important in your life right now. And yeah,
exactly.
That's all important.
But it doesn't, at the end of the day, that's not the most important, you know, it really, it just, it's the tenacity, I think, that the tenacity to show that you did it means a lot, right? Because that's, but it's, yeah, at the end of the day.
You know, Real quick. I had a man the other day, and he got fired. He got fired from, I placed him on the job 5 years ago, and he got fired. So, Marianne, let me tell you what, I got fired. And you know what happened? I had two bad things happen to me. My wife, I got divorced, and my father died. And I really had a hard time. Right? And I really went through a hard time. But you know what? I went to therapy, right? I've done some online training. And you know what? I told my employer, I'm sorry, and I hope it didn't put you in a bad situation, but I learned from that. And you know what? I placed him because he took responsibility for what happened.
Exactly.
And you know what else, Nick?
Exactly.
He told me the truth. He told me the truth. He didn't come in here and say, oh, that manager was so horrible, horrible. So you know what? We're going to fail. We're going to have problems. We're going to make mistakes, all right? That's just part of life. But what did you learn
exactly.
from it, all right? And what are you going to do going forward? And
exactly.
I think my two books, you know, help you learn how to do that.
Oh, I love it. This has been so much fun. This has been great. And you've got every, I'm going to, yeah, their workshop. Look up your workshop, too. And the two books are Revolutionary Recruiting and Revolutionary Reinvention Workbook by Mary Ann Faramouth.
Yeah.
And I'm spelling it Faremouth. And,
Faramouth.com has a lot of good podcasts on there. All kinds of, you know, I do a podcast once a month for Price of Business Show. It's a nationally syndicated show, and I do a podcast once a month, and I write articles for the U.S. Daily Times and the Post once a week, and all those articles and those podcasts are on my website. They're very inspirational. There's a lot of training on there, so that website is also a good tool to refer to.
Perfect. Perfect. We have to have you back, too. Let me see. I love it. It's just so much going on. Yeah, it's so needed right now, and I think if people can, the hardest part right now with COVID is kind of figuring out what's happening next, right? And I think a lot of us, we like to know what to expect, you know, especially those of us that are driven and we're used to goals and planning, and I think that's something that, there has to be a little bit of, like, I have a lot of faith. You know, we have to have some faith in the system. We have to have faith in not knowing everything that's going to happen, right? But when we can get up and make ourselves, push ourselves and go do it, what a wonderful day rather than not doing anything and being in limbo. I think limbo, do you agree limbo is kind of a tough place to be, even though there are some times where it's good to just hang out and wait until you get the right answers?
Yeah, I think limbo is, you know, it's a hard place to be. And I think right now, I think the sense of community, all right, and not, you know, it's got to be a virtual community in a lot of ways or a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
But if we have that sense of community, if we work with people that can help us, you know, we all need a little support right now. We all need a little, you know, somebody to hold our hand and help us through, because a lot of us are not at the best place that we've been. And so if we can have people around us, a supportive network, it's going to have us, you know, help us get over that little hill onto the other side. I think that's what we all need right now. We all need other people supporting us and cheering us on, because a lot of us have been, you know, had some challenges and been kicked a little bit. So I think if we can all look at it, how are we going to help each other get down the road and become better? And in the meanwhile, you know, how are we going to help each other and make a contribution and help somebody else? I think if we have that kind of mindset, what a much better world we'd have, you know, instead of just looking at, you know, what's in it for me? We can look at, you know, we're all human beings, no matter, you know, where we're from, who we are, anything
exactly.
about us. But at the end of the day, we're human beings, and if we can all help each other, you know, hey, I think that's a good mindset, I think, anyway.
I totally agree. You're wonderful. I totally agree, and I think it comes back to us, and we help, and it gets our mind, you know, when our minds are stuck in those places, the activity and the perseverance clears all that out, you know, and makes us productive, and then we can also be better leaders and just get up and go, you know, not let it destroy us in any way, shape, or form. I think a lot of people are finding that out now, just like you said, with families and positions and deciding, hey, I want this, or no, I don't want this. And you mentioned some of the situations end up turning out better than anyone ever expected, right? When one door closes, another door opens, that can be much more rewarding than they ever thought. So
yeah, well,
this has been awesome.
Well, thank mm-hmm. you. I think, you know, I think I appreciate, you know, being on your show and all these, you know, all the great questions we've talked about today. And I just want to say thank you so much, Natalie. And if anybody out there, you know, needs any career advice or, employment training or whatever it is, you know, I'm here for you. It's Mary Ann Fairmouth. And I love what I do. I love helping people. I like to see people grow and exceed their, you know, previous positions and situations. So I just want to say thank you. And I think gratitude is a big thing that everybody needs to have these days.
Absolutely. So we're so grateful for having you on today. You're amazing. I'm going to look up too, and we'll keep in touch too. We always do. And your class is March 12th, and then it's going to be ongoing. So people can go to your website, fairmouth.com, to be able to get more and more information. And Nebuk and also can always contact us, those in our network, and we'll give you the information as well. This has been wonderful. So I hope to talk to you soon. And stay safe out there. And thank you so much
you
for
too,
being
Natalie.
On to every...
You always...
I'm always somewhere. Mm-hmm. No, just kidding. getting on planes again, but slowly. And to everyone out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you, Natalie.